everybody. Welcome back to The Breakdown, or welcome to The Breakdown for the very first time.
Time. We're going to make it 30 seconds.
It's going to be a rough breakdown. If we haven't met, my name is John Humiston. The guy, if you are watching, sitting across from me is Nick Pierce. He is the guy with all of the responses, also known as lead pastor.
It's like easy. What was that next word?
Hey, we have a really exciting breakdown. So let's fill the people in because we went a week without the breakdown.
We did.
So let's do a quick run through of why we didn't do the breakdown last week, and then just plow into why this breakdown is semi or really unique.
Yeah, super unique.
Super unique. Do you want to do why we weren't here last week, or do you want me to?
You got it, buddy.
I'll do why we weren't here because the people love you when it comes to what we're going to talk about next. So last week we didn't do the breakdown. We had planned on doing the breakdown. We took the staff to Vancouver, Washington, to a church up there that we have built a great relationship and partnership with.
Shout out Crossroads.
Crossroads Community Church. If you came to Cal Connect, Pastor Gabe and Pastor Mikey.
Cal Conference, Cal Connect.
Cal Connect is
our digital Connect, like
email newsletter.
We would love for you to sign up for that. You can sign up for it on the website.
You can.
But that's what Cal Connect is. He's referring to Cal Conference.
Thank you. That was Cal Conference.
There you go.
Pastor Gabe and Pastor Mikey came from Crossroads.
Yeah.
Pastor Gabe spoke, Pastor Mikey led worship. So we took the staff up there. We're gone on Sunday, which let's just say kudos to our team and our people.
In the history of Calvary.
Yep.
Far as anybody can tell us.
We can't, yeah.
You know, and we've went back and we've searched the old records, the ancient
scrolls. We have some connections.
Of Calvary. There's never been a volunteer only Sunday that's ran. There's always been at least one staff member. And so that was...
We took everybody. And said, hope it works.
Good luck.
So it was great. I think we had two phone calls and they were minor things at that. Like nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Like great morning. So we had planned on doing the podcast while we were in Vancouver and doing like a special episode.
Yeah.
Schedule-wise, some things didn't work out. And so we just punted the podcast. Yeah. So that's why I didn't do the podcast last week. Did you hear from anybody about it? I heard from nobody.
Nobody.
Producer Dayton, did you hear from anybody?
Nothing.
Put it down in the record books. This is the first time we didn't get an angry something.
Maybe that's why they knew. They knew. Like,
I guess that's true.
Away,
most of
they just, yeah.
The people that usually say stuff are people we see on Sunday.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Okay. Well, that's why we didn't do it last week. But this week, let's talk about this week. Because normally on the breakdown, we break down the message from Sunday. We have been.
What happened Sunday?
Nothing. It was another normal Sunday.
So, because we have been going through Genesis.
Yep.
Pastor Cliff went off
two weeks ago
when we were in Vancouver.
Yep.
And have only heard great things.
Yeah.
But like,
how can you not love?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to dude with a beard that beautifully kept.
And the video, I just loved that intro. Like, oh, the bearded legend. that was fun to watch.
That's very true.
So,
we've been walking through and breaking down Genesis. Yeah. As we've walked through Genesis, but Sunday we didn't talk about Genesis.
We didn't talk about Genesis.
Why did we not
we
talk
talked
about
another Genesis, another beginning?
We did. Ba-da-da. Why is that, lead pastor?
Nick Pierce? Just didn't have anything planned, so I just shot from the hip. Sorry. No, that's not the
This is why stuff doesn't communicate. People who don't know Nick and his personality, they don't know. That's not true.
I usually lead with sarcasm.
Yeah.
There it is.
Just know 90% of what comes out of Nick's mouth, if it feels like weird, just it's sarcastic.
I love on a Sunday when I'll say a joke and then I have to say that was a joke.
And moving on, that was a joke.
And moving on, there it is. Because some people I think you see is like, was he being serious? Yeah. They're like, that one's a joke right there. It's okay.
In case you don't know, I was kidding.
It's all good. So yeah, so Sunday was special. It was unique because back clear in January, Vision Sunday, we kind of had that soft launch and I think that'd be a very generous term, or the meeting before the meeting, you know?
The conversation.
Like, yeah. Just so like nobody's caught off guard, like, hey, letting you know this is going to happen this year.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, before like that January meeting, probably for, I would say, a solid 2 years, even within my first year, just I watch patterns, mm-hmm. I look at things, and obviously the role, I got to be looking out ahead and saying, all right, I liken it to playing chess. You know, like checkers, you can be two or three moves ahead, and that's about it. Yeah. Where chess, you have to be 20 moves ahead, you know, and it's always changing because of how, you know, pieces get taken, mm-hmm. or the opposition moves and different things like that. So, you know, being in a lead pastoral role, you know, it's playing chess, got to be 20 moves ahead. So for well of 2 years, at the staff has been having some conversations as well, but even at the board level, having some pretty in-depth conversations about things that we're seeing, God doing a work and a move, and knowing that, you know, as the body grows, what doesn't grow with it very easily is, you know, the facility. Mm-hmm. You know, and any parent knows this, that if they have kids, you know, so we had four, and there's been times where it's like, ooh, we know they're getting ready to hit a pretty good growth spurt. And so we like get them some pants, and it's like, you might need a belt for a couple weeks.
We're going to wear it a little big.
Yeah, you're going to wear them a little bit, right? That's how we had to do it. Yeah. Like, you know, we grew up, and it was like, we went clothes shopping. You know, we always got two or three outfits before the new school year.
Yep.
And it's like, but those were going to be some of my main clothes.
This has to last all year.
Yeah. So like the first part of the year, like, oh, that baggy looks in. It's like, no, I'm just trying to make it to May. You know, I'm trying to make it to May, or, you know, not that, you know, anyway. So, and so we are looking and seeing how the body is growing and saying, okay, how do we continue to be effective in ministry? Mm-hmm. Because as the body grows and the facility obviously doesn't, you know, the square footage doesn't grow just because, you know, 20, 30, 40 more people start, like, we're still in the, so it's like the body's growing, but the clothes aren't, you know, the foot is growing, but the shoe is staying the same.
Just cut the toe off the shoe. Yeah,
exactly. Then you have to like, okay, now we're starting to have some pressure points where it's getting kind of clunky, a little bit tight. And now it's like, all right, now it's starting to hurt. Mm-hmm. Now it's directly impacting the flow of ministry. And that's really difficult. And so we've been talking about, okay, at what point do we pull the trigger and say, hey, I think this is the time that we need to move into building.
Yeah.
You know, is that on site? Is that off site? Is that adding on? Is that like there, all of those things. Like there, so as we talked Sunday, if you're thinking through, I wonder if they've thought about this,
mm-hmm.
like no pride, no ego. We have great people, a great group of men that sit at the board level. We have a stewardship team and a campus development team. Like if you have the idea, I'm safely going to go out on a limb and say, we've probably thought about it.
Yeah.
Outside of just like, you know, doing a coup and taking over another church and kicking them all out of their building, you know, like it's modern warfare.
In an unhealthy way.
In a very super unhealthy way. Like that option, yeah, that really didn't cross our desk.
But I don't know that it didn't.
That's true.
I just think it was like, that's not an option.
Yeah, like we weren't going to like run another church out and take over their property. But every good, fruitful idea, like we've really just like drawing board a mm-hmm. ton of like, what could we do? What can we do? What can we do? And so Vision Sunday in January, we kind of talked about Heart for the House. Mm-hmm. And really that's the spiritual focus of this.
Yeah.
Where we want to be a home for the broken, encouragement for the hurting, and a family for the follower of Jesus. And it was nice. I've had a couple of people even at the board level. They were like, isn't that who we are? I said, exactly. And that's the key, that when we mm-hmm. walk through this building a legacy building campaign, let's not lose sight of who we are. You know, and I've even had to challenge the staff a little bit. Like we've had this conversation like, hey, we know if we want to build a building, should we shore up some ministry spending? And it's like, we can't hamstring the ministry that has caused us to be in the very issue that mm-hmm. we're in for a building.
You always know,
like,
a fun conversation.
Always a fun conversation. Always a fun conversation. So it's like, no, keep doing the ministry that has put us in this predicament. Like we got to keep moving forward. Yeah. Like we cannot cease to be who we're called to be just because the shoe is getting really, really, really tight. Mm-hmm. And so the board level we've been talking about for a couple of years. And to be honest, like that's hard at the leadership level. And that's something even for me that I'm still trying to process through internally, like where it's almost like you could probably even speak into this a little bit. Like at the staff level, there's almost a little fatigue talking about the building.
Definitely is.
Because we've been talking about it for so much. But our people, like, they heard January, and it's like, okay, so that was kind of a meeting before mm-hmm. the meeting. That was like a, hey, just start acclimating to this idea. Yeah. Like, this is coming soft launch that there eventually is going to be like, hey, we're going to pull the trigger on this once there's more data and more info all together. And so that's what Sunday was, yeah. was, I would say, the official Heart for the House launch
yeah.
for Building a Legacy campaign where, yeah, it's a building fund. And so we wanted to articulate that well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple things that we need to walk through. Like, one, you know, the table analogy Sunday.
So good.
I've gotten a lot of good response on that.
So good.
And I really didn't know how it was going to go. Because it was just, we came out, me and my wife came out Saturday, just to, because we were in Vancouver. And so got the table, got there. And so we're out of the church, just me and her. And I'm like, and it was an older table.
Mm-hmm.
So just practically like pulling it apart, putting in
it
the
didn't
leaves.
Flow. Well, in the sense of right. like, it didn't just pull open nice and easy, yeah. put the leaves in and close nice and easy. Yeah. And you can't be rough with, like, this is an old school family heirloom.
Yes. And I was like, don't break it, especially right in front of the people that let us use yes. it. But I wanted that table analogy because, you know, to answer the question, oh, are you just about trying to build this building?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what this is about. It's about, again, being the church that God has called us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as we continue to be that home for the broken, encouragement for the hurting, family for the follower of Jesus, as we continue to do with our mission statement of kingdom before Calvary, Jesus over everything, you know, being a community of faith, all of that verbiage is merely trying to articulate who we are.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue to do that, we know that we have to make room at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that analogy spoke well. And even just using like my own kids a little bit, like every time we brought a kid home, it changes.
Yep.
It changes the dynamic of the family, but it's still the family.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one kid that I have that I regret having. There's not one kid that I regret like, oh man, if we wouldn't have had them, we could have stayed the family of four and had easy vacations and I could have had a car and never a minivan. It's like, no. Like, whatever it has cost me
yeah.
to have my four kids, worth it
yeah.
every time, right? And so the same thing for us as a church, as this community of faith, this family of faith, whatever it's going to cost us to be the family, to be the church that God has called us to be, it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know? And so as we continue to do that and be a light into the community, we know we need to make room at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to weigh, like, we're kind of in the middle of the tension of, we're at three services, one's super packed, the other are growing, and saying, how do we effectively and fruitfully do ministry mm-hmm. on a Sunday? You know, we're hamstrung even on Wednesdays of what we can do because our student ministry, even other little things that we've done in the community, like, we'd love to do that, but we don't have space. We'd love to do that, but we can't do this. And it's like, that is hard
yeah.
to think through. And those are good questions, like, you know, early in the conversations, you know, even around at the board, like, hey, what are we not doing that we could be doing? And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I think me and you one day went back and forth like it was ping pong.
Without trying, just like
not even trying
what we
would do. Yeah. yeah. And so the health of the church, I think, is directly impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And trying to do everything that we can to keep and maintain spiritual health in the midst of some of the pressure points that we have. And some people are like, well, how does the health of the church be affected just because, you know, our backs are up against the wall yeah. in service? Well, here's one example, right? So we have a prayer team
mm-hmm.
and it's a great group of people. Like, it's probably one of our most stacked teams mm-hmm. that volunteer. And at the end of every service, we always want a prayer team available, you know, and sometimes it's like, hey, nobody came up and asked for prayer today. And it's like, that's okay, because the success is that we offered it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you'll have people, sometimes you won't. That's up to the Lord.
Yeah.
But are we being faithful in providing a prayer team? Well, one of the biggest tension points for us is after first service. So we have the prayer team, but that's also the time that the worship team needs to do a quick sound check before second and third service, because they're going to lead worship for probably another 200,
mm-hmm.
sometimes even 300 yeah. people, you know? And so it's like, well, how can you do prayer in the back corner when only about 30 feet away, there's the worship team on the stage practicing. And it's like both ministries need that. There's a tension point in there, but it's that's a tension point. And it's like we want to provide prayer. And I wonder if some people don't want to ask for prayer because it's like we just need to get out because we know the other service is coming in. There's not that time to really linger in the presence. Mm-hmm. And wherever the work that God is doing on a Sunday morning to really allow that to be fleshed out a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know, in the foyer, which I don't even like that term because we're not French, in the lobby, still doesn't even sound cool, but whatever you want to call it, you know, there it's hard. You get five people together talking because we want to build relationships, so we want to have community, but you take up half the foyer.
Literally, it's a maze
trying to get. And so trying to come in and out, you're rubbing, you know, bumping into people, rubbing shoulders, and it's just like, oh, you know, not that it's a bad thing, but it really doesn't, it's not an environment that fosters community. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times I feel like there's like internally, here's a transparent moment. Like I feel like we're trying to herd people in and out of service. And it's like, no, I want people to, you know, to be able to linger and talk and, you know, it. Like, you know, I never met that person. Or, oh, hey, look, there's Bob. You know, he's my neighbor or something, you know, like something. But when it feels like there's not an opportunity for that, there's not a space that facilitates that, mm-hmm. you know, that's where the health can come down where it's like, yeah, we're just in and out for service and that's it. And it's like, that's a struggle for me. So it's definitely in the tension of the health of the church. And then the other part of it, at three services, and to be honest, like we have been talking like, if this continues, like, do we need to go to a fourth and what does that look like? And how do we effectively do that without burning out staff and volunteers? And like, there's just a lot in that. Even at the three services, I've been walking through, let it be like Walmart or Hy-Vee, right? And I'll run into somebody that calls Calvary Home mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, hey, how are you? Da, da, da. And then I'll see somebody else and they'll come up and they'll be like, oh, hey. And then it hit me one time, this happened. I was like, oh, they don't know each other, mm-hmm. but they've been going to church for a year. And they're like, oh yeah, we go to Calvary. Well, I do too. How do I never see you? Because we have three services. Like the family's divided. Mm-hmm. And there's not really like, when our kids get older, we know there's going to be times that like, oh, you know, Dayton and his family's going to come over for dinner and just them. Or, you know, Emmy and her family are going to come over for dinner. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there is something special when they all will come mm-hmm. together. And it's different like that. And so our heart really is to have less services and more keeping the family together because there's health in that, we believe. So we launched officially the Heart for the House campaign on Sunday and started talking and really tried to set the spiritual tone mm-hmm. for it all. That it's not about a build it and they will come. Yeah. No. Like God's they're already here. God's doing a work, but also where are we planning in a way for the work that he's going to do?
Yeah.
Not just the work that he is doing. And if the Lord does tarry, you know, because a lot of us watch the news and we think any day now, and it could be, but let's say it's not. Are we handing off a solid Calvary for the next generation to be the light of Christ? And can we solve some of these issues now? So that the next generation or the next season of ministry don't have those, you know? And so that was the big conversation. So we walked through the tangibles mm-hmm. of what new facility would look like. We walked through the, at least right now. And again, no matter how many times we say it, we know it'll always be kind of a difficult thing. The best numbers that we have at this point. So if, thing that I've always held to in ministry is embrace the ish. Mm-hmm. And I learned it on a mission trip. You're like, oh, the bus is going to be here at 7. We all need to be up and ready. And it's 7:15 and the bus isn't there. And you get your type A personalities. You said 7. It's like, embrace the ish. And we're going to plan for that. And so even in the numbers, because we can't control cost of living and
economy
and stuff like that. Yep. But the best that we have right now, like we've taken a snapshot that if we could go buy all this stuff and build it now, this would be a good snapshot of what it would be. But when we actually start, we have to embrace the ish. And so there has to be a little bit of ebb and flow in there. We just wanted to give some kind of context of what we were looking at in it. And so that's where the numbers part would be. But I think the main thing, sorry, good night. I think the main thing for me, and we made a video because we wanted to kind of cast that vision, was at the very beginning, was talking about like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, talking about Mary and Martha with Lazarus. Like, I really do believe it's going to be more about the faithfulness on the front end than it is going to be the actual outflow on the back end.
Yeah.
Meaning, so like, my prayer from the very beginning, like, and this is where I've been at, Lord, I want you to do on this. Lord, I want you to do this in a way that doesn't make sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the sermon illustration and the whole sermon series at the beginning of the year after Vision Sunday, that doesn't make sense, came from. Mm-hmm. Was my prayer of like, Lord, like, however this is done, I don't want to sit in a new building, wherever that would be, on-site, off-site, we took over another church, yeah, whatever. Like, whatever the answer is, I don't want to sit there and think, well, that made sense. We had good planning, good prayer, good prep, good execution. That made, like, I want to sit there in a way, I want to feel like Moses walking through the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like Abraham and Sarah hearing Isaac being born. Like, I want to sit in a way that's like, that was only from the Lord,
mm-hmm,
you know, and that doesn't make sense. And so that's, for me, has been my biggest heart. And so as we're launching it, I love the verse that Paul says in Philippians. It's like, I don't seek the gift. For me, it's, even though we showed tangible numbers, again, snapshot, embrace the ish, it's not about, can we raise that? Because that would make sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, we raised all this, now we can go and build and da, da, da. But would we be faithful in what God has given us? And so if we all give what God has decided on our heart to, and let that be time, talent, treasure, all of it, mm-hmm, right? Whatever that would be, not just financial. If we give what God has put on our heart, what we have decided to do, my wife was asking me, she goes, what if that does happen? Everybody says yes to Jesus. Everybody responds. And it's still short. And I said, true, because there's still one more heart that we cannot discredit. And that's the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that we're in that situation where we're going to get to a certain spot. And it's like, all right, we've made it out of Egypt. We've walked through the wilderness. Now we're up against the Red Sea. This doesn't make sense. And it's like, because I still want that component that says it's going to require a step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to make sense to us and our finite human reasoning, where it's going to take God stepping in an awesome, mighty way. Because if it makes sense to us, it'll be easy to pull the glory to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does it in a way that doesn't make sense, all glory goes to God. And there's no way we could take credit,
yeah,
for what he's done.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's where I'm at. So like, if somebody's like, I can only give $5 a month, I am so humbled that you would give $5 above and beyond,
yeah,
what the Lord, you know, to the heart for the house. Like, that's the faithfulness, where it's the poor widow dropping two mites into the offering. It's the little boy's lunch of, mm-hmm, you know, five loaves and two fish. It's like, it's not about what we give. It's the heart that we give from, and it's who we are giving to. Mm-hmm. And when the heart that we give from is focused on Christ and we are giving unto what he is doing, that's when he likes to work and move.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my prayer for it all. So if you're wondering, like, you know, because again, a lot of us get pretty tangible, like, all right, how much do we have saved up? How much do we have left? Or what would be loan rates and different, like, and I get that. We're going to be, we have a stewardship team that is being very financially responsible, mm-hmm, and all of that. I still want to see the heart of God just like move in a big way.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the hard, like, that's the hard part, where, like, for us as staff there, we've talked so long, we've fleshed out all the things, you know, but then there is that point where we've had behind closed doors some of those conversations where it's like, this just is a huge struggle.
Yeah.
But then there's that little confirmation in the small way.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is a reminder that we are headed in the direction where we are faithfully responding. For me personally, I want the whole, like, I want the whole path illuminated, the bow on the butt. Like, I
who
want
doesn't?
It laid out where it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, this makes sense.
Rock on.
Yep.
This is going to be great.
So, 100%. I am dying over here. I'm so sorry. I keep trying not to cough in the mic. And for me, like, I would rather see, because, you know, some might have this, and I've had the thought, like, you drive past the billboard of the lottery, and it's like, you know, $1.3 billion, and it's like, what we per se need for a building, that would be a drop in the bucket compared to that. Like, Lord, why don't you just have me win that? Because then it would only be one person.
Yep.
And when we look all through scripture, like, we always see God working through people.
Yep.
You know, there's, you know, yes, we see God working through individuals, but it's, you always see God working through people as well. And I think the same thing for us. I'd rather see every family involved in some form or fashion, and even come up short, because again, I don't want to discredit a move of God in it, than it is for three people to roll up and say, hey, we're going to bankroll this whole thing.
Yeah. Because we'll say, oh man, thanks so much to person A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Instead of it being like, oh, thanks so much to the community that rallied behind.
Yeah.
Because the 500 $1 gifts made a difference. You know, instead of the, I'll do a million, you do a million, we'll do a million, we'll bankroll it, you know?
Yeah. Because again, I don't want to remove the faithfulness of the body of Christ. To say, you know what, we're going to step out in faith, even when it hurts, you know? Because, like, I think Paul was talking to the church in Philippi, who is probably one of the poorest, but they gave the most. Why? Because they believed in the ministry of Paul. And their giving, just as Jesus said with the poor widow, her giving out of sacrifice, again, that's the heart compared to a giving out of abundance.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and not that somebody can't give out of abundance and have the right heart from the Lord. Like, I'm not saying that. But just,
we won't say no to your money. Let's just call.
I want to see the body of Christ faithfully respond. You know, it same way. Like, it's no different than life groups. It's no different than serving. I want to see everybody in a life group. I want to see everybody serving inside and outside of the walls. I want everybody to be in the Word daily. I want everybody praying. Like, we held go back to the Cal conference with Pastor Gabe, Pastor Mikey. I wanted the whole church there. You know. That's the same way. Why would my heart as the lead pastor change just because now we're talking about financial things? You know, it's a spiritual discipline. This is a spiritual faith step for all of us to take.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't look at just my, you know, the top 50 people and be like, you guys be in life group, but nobody else needs to be in life group. No, we all need that. We all need to be a part of this and what God is doing. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, so for the type A personalities, let's talk some tangibles just for those that are like rolling over.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Hurting. I don't remember. I was trying to pull up I know we were talking in size of triples approximately.
Yeah, there you go.
So current building, you know this, I think off the top of your head.
Yep, sadly.
Our current building square footage.
So if you count just the downstairs, that's 7,500 square foot.
Okay. And so the new sanctuary.
And the new sanctuary.
Is like 21.5?
No, 17.
Like I said, 17.
Yeah, the new sanctuary lobby. So actually take it back, because our downstairs includes our Cal kids. So
yeah,
right
the
now.
The whole downstairs.
Yeah, the whole downstairs is 7,500. So just our sanctuary and lobby is 5,280 feet square foot.
That's a mile.
That's a mile. 5,280 feet. That's a mile. So we have 5,280 square feet within our sanctuary and our lobby. The new building, which will be the downstairs of it, the sanctuary and lobby, is 17,000.
Yep.
So tripling numbers right there. So you look at Cal Kids. Right now in our Cal Kids area, we have four small little classrooms with a small hallway and two little bathrooms. That's 2,200 square foot. Once the new building would be built, we would renovate the current facility downstairs to be all Cal Kids. So bathrooms, closets, all in 7,500. So a little more than tripling.
Yep.
Right. Students have no space whatsoever. They have nowhere to go on Sundays. Right. That's why they hang out in the lobby or outside, or they just don't come. Right. Let's be honest. On Wednesday, we can't do any other ministry events because the students,
they show up.
They show up. They take over the whole facility. Yeah. You know, so some people are like, oh, you should do a Wednesday night Bible study. I'm not going to kick students out of their space.
We could do it in the parking lot.
Good. So students would go from having no space to, they would most likely have a 3,000 square foot youth room.
So I just had this thought where you're talking.
Yep.
Because what you did on Sunday, I thought was super helpful related to the $4.8-ish million that we were asking for. You broke that down in homes.
Yeah.
So the average cost of a home here in Osage Beach is
600,000,
615.
615.
So we said a little over 7 houses, right?
You
said from stage.
I said eight.
Okay.
Yeah, a little over 7.
So if 8 houses
from that. Yeah.
For is sure. What we're asking to build. Yeah. So,
and my wife came up with that. That hit her because she was the one that kind of, she was one that even at home, she's struggling. She's like, man, Nick, that's a lot of money. I said, it is. Like, don't not think that.
Yep.
Like, it is a lot of money. But when we think about that amount of money and what the fruitful, effective ministry can be from that, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But so she's struggling through that. I always tell the story. We were driving through Springfield, and we drive past this like big white church, like huge paved parking lot. And in my heart, I'm just like, don't covet, don't covet, don't covet.
Yeah.
You know,
we would just love to have a nice paved parking lot.
Oh my goodness, right? And so we drive past it, and they got big windows, tall steeple. Like, this is beautiful. It is done well. And my wife said, see, I just don't want to do that. I don't want our church to become that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, honey, you are so cute. Like, that is like $40 million. Like, I honestly, and I've said this, I think if we could go from like this moment right now, hearing $4.5 million to the building is done, I think a lot of people would be underwhelmed.
Mm.
Right?
Because what they're expecting.
Yeah. Like, all we want is more of the same, just a bigger metal building. And my joke of more windows, because I don't want to look like a strip club, right?
Because unfortunately it does.
It's the only building that doesn't have windows in it.
Or storage unit, just an oversized storage
unit. And I was trying to think of, like, what's a building in our area that could give some kind of context to sizing?
Mm-hmm.
And the closest I could come up with off the top of my head is the old Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
It's right there by like the
yep.
the Dollar Tree and Exporting Goods. That's like 20 or 21,000.
Mm-hmm.
But it's big, it's brick, and it's connected to that. It's Exporting Goods and stuff. So it's kind of hard to get context.
If you were in it, it gives you an idea, but not.
I said that to somebody and they're like, yeah, that's really not that big. Like, I think some people think like Hy-Vee. Like, yeah, right. I wish.
Literally, we wish we could
think
have.
I think we're at the produce section of Hy-Vee is what we're like. The frozen food section of Hy-Vee is what we're thinking. So, but yeah, so that's the tangibleness in the numbers that my wife, we had a house that's for sale right next to us, and it was originally listed at 4.25,
mm-hmm.
425,000. And she's like, roughly, that's like, we just need 8 of those.
Yep.
And I was like, dang, that's a good way to put it. We're just trying to build 8 homes. Like, that's the numbers we're looking at.
And what's crazy is when you think about, so kids and students specifically for their square footage.
Yeah.
So our kids and our students on average 50 to 75 in each group. So kids was what was the kids number? 22?
Square footage?
Yeah,
2,200.
So right 2,200 now. Square feet. That's some people's entire home.
Yeah.
So imagine cramming 50 to 75 kids. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, if you have a 2,000 square foot house,
I would keep on driving past my house.
There's no way. What's your, like, do you know the square footage of your house?
You're asking questions. I have no idea. Do you know? You live with me. What are you talking about? You don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay. Okay. Whatever the square footage of your house is.
Our old house was, I think, 1,600.
So our house is 1,120 finished upstairs.
Yeah.
But then we have an empty basement. Yeah. So that literally is our entire house.
But imagine in 3 waves on a day, one after
another.
No
chance.
Yeah. 75 kids are going to come through here in 3 waves.
I'm shaking thinking about putting that many kids and all the dangers and things.
I'd put raccoon traps out. Can I say that? I'm sorry. At least catch the little ones.
You can. You probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Like, you know how much duct tape that would take? For me to, like, he just caught it. There we go. Silence is golden, but duct tape is silver. We are just joking. But that's a good way to put it. I didn't even think
like,
about that.
Well, because we're talking heart for the house. And I even told you this the other day, like, okay, I love the housing model because heart for the house.
Yeah.
The building campaign still moving back to the houses.
Yeah.
and then thinking through tangible, like, okay, the building as a whole, absolutely. But think about the size of your house related to
75 kids and three waves coming through. Oh, if and you we're have, talking babies all the way up to like fifth graders.
Yeah. And if you have, that's good. If you have kids, like, I love my girls.
He front loaded it. I love my girls.
I love my girls. I'm telling you right now, if there were 75 of those little snot nosed girls walking around, or even 50, I would have a full blown panic attack.
I'm dying right now. That is hilarious.
But
that's a good way to put it.
It really is. It's trying to break it down.
Yeah. At my old church, the kids pastor was like, dude, I walk up in the youth room and there's all those teenagers. Like, I get in a cold sweat. And I said, I feel the same way when I go downstairs to the kids. But, you know, so now take the same thing, you know, with about 5,000 square foot, which isn't massive. You're talking like what? Maybe a half of a basketball court? Mm-hmm. Imagine, you know, even let's give you a full basketball court. All right, 50 to 60, sometimes even 70 teenagers are going to roll in.
Yep.
And you got a small basketball court. Like what?
Yep.
You're like, look,
you have set chairs up in that. You have to have a state. Like you have all those things.
All in.
And so, like, as I've been processing and thinking through, this is some of what I'm wondering. So this would be me like speaking on behalf of our church.
Yeah.
So First Service has been growing.
Oh man.
And is starting to feel full compared to when we started was like 50. Second Service has always been the pressure point.
Yep.
It's been slammed. Third Service has always been the lowest. So if you showed up to a Third Service on Sunday, and I even joked with you, I said, this is going to be the hardest service to do this conversation in.
Oh, yeah.
Because it felt empty.
Yeah.
For the person that's sitting in service having that thought, what's the conversation
that's good.
That you have with them? Because they may not be aware of
that's
the good. Other two services.
So here we go. So understand that one, it's the third service.
It's almost lunchtime when we start that service.
Yeah, it's the third service. So that's a key.
Yep.
Something that we had to launch because we always want to make space for people. That's never changed.
Yep.
So even though I did the table analogy, that's always been our heart. We have to make room for people. And the easiest way for us to do that was to launch a third service. Mm-hmm. The easiest way for us to continue to do that is to launch a service. Mm-hmm. The hard part is we do have to think about the health of staff and volunteers, you know, like some worship team members are volunteering. They're here all day. Mm-hmm. So like kudos to them. That is amazing, right? But that's more Cal Kids. That's more everything.
Yep.
Everything just, it doesn't even double it. It just multiplies huge, right? So we always want to make space. And so going to that third service, and even though it's not full, and it's like, oh, we got room. Exactly. We have room in our third service. Like I don't, we could go down to two and they both would be packed as the 945 mm-hmm. with people upstairs and there's no parking, but it's not just the sanctuary space either. It's parking, it's foyer, it's Cal Kids, it's all of that together. The other thing that you have to remember is the normal square footage you should have on the low end per person in a sanctuary is about 15 square foot a person. Mm-hmm. We're almost at 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think 10 would be generous to say, right?
I thought it was when we figured it was like almost 9. It was like 8.8.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah, it's so we have way more chairs in there than we should. Mm-hmm. So our sanctuary right now holds about 193 people.
And the numbers that we pulled that from?
Lifeway Architects.
Post-COVID.
Post-COVID. Yes.
So
I might challenge, it might be pre-COVID. It might even be where now people want a little bit more space because it's post-COVID.
Was that the 20 square foot number then?
That range went from like 15 to 24, which is like such a range. And so even on the low end, 15, like we're almost at 10. Yeah. So right now we're at 193 seats in our sanctuary. If we were to go with that 15 square foot, that would actually be 148 seats. Mm-hmm. Now in a sanctuary, a good metric they would tell you is anywhere from 75 to about 80% full that's a full service. That's a
full, yep.
Right. And so that puts us at 118. People mm-hmm. in our sanctuary. So when about 118, that's full. Mm-hmm. So First Service being over 100 now, that's why it feels full because it is.
And I've heard people say that's kind of pushed back on that. Like, well, that's not full. Here's a great, when you go to the movies.
Amen.
Do you sit next to somebody?
Yes.
No, you want a chair at least in between because you don't know those people.
Yeah.
So you're not going to slide in and become BFFs with your popcorn and your drink because you got to share an armrest. Yeah. Yeah. You got to share a cup holder. And you want both armrests and both cup holders. So you're going to have to keep one seat in between.
Do you remember the game? There was actually a real game that it would be a cartoon picture of just urinals. And guys, go with me here. It'll
you lost me already.
Not at all. And so let's say there's like seven urinals and they have like two or three guys standing at a urinal and it's like, all right, which urinal do you go to? This is a real thing, right? So when you walk in, like let's say there's four urinals and the guy's all the way to the left. Are you going to go to the second one right next to him?
Going to the far right one.
You're going to the, exactly. Every guy knows there's a certain, there is a
rule.
There's a rule to it. And that's the same way. Like when you walk in, like, especially everybody has their safe seats. But like, if you're walking in, like, and there's room because it hasn't filled up yet, we're not filing in front to back. Everybody start and move in. I mean, that'd be really nice for us. That would
help. Seating.
Oh, let's do it. But no, the movie theater analogy is really, really good. And that's one of the struggles that we have where that's why you go to a 75 to 80% rule. And I also think about, we only have one door in and out. So think of just the normal flow of trying to get in and out of a service. Now, we have other exits in case of emergency, like a fire or something like that.
But like the entryway to get in.
But just the normal flow of in and out of service, like it is hard. Even at the first service, which is just above 100, it still takes a hot minute to get in and out. Then you got some people that are there for second service already, even though it's a 40, minute kind of gap. And
if you see somebody that you start a conversation, you just stop to the flow of traffic moving.
And I think the other, let's just be honest. I have to very intentionally and mindfully limit how long I go. Where if I'm too long, I know I'm going to cause an accident in the parking lot. If I go too long, kids can't get checked into CalKids because we can't get kids out of CalKids. And that's really hard. Where like when we were at Crossroads, there was two services, right? 9 and 11. How over did the senior pastor go on the first service? Do you remember?
28 minutes.
And how over did he go on the second service?
I don't know second.
40.
No, he didn't.
40.
I was 40. In like 12 different meetings.
40.
Do you know who was freaking out and we heard about it? Kids.
Yeah. but at least that's the only place that felt the tension because they had the kids for a while. It wasn't a space issue. It was a time issue.
Yeah.
And for us, it's very much a space issue, which like, call it what it is. If there's a ministry moment where
we have to hurry it up along.
We have to hurry it up along. I have to rush the Holy Spirit because I have to get these people out.
So our MarCom team did 23 minutes this morning.
Verbiage for you guys. MarCom.
Okay, sorry.
We have a meeting. We talk about marketing and communication. Yeah. So everything that communicates out from the church, all of our different avenues, we try to be very strategic in that. So we meet weekly for it. Go ahead.
So it goes through that team. Thank you. So our MarCom team met for over 20 minutes. Just to talk about how we're communicating host time.
Yeah.
The next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Related to the time for the service overall because of those pressure points.
Yep.
We have to have first service to a tight, even over hour and 5 minutes.
Yep.
And that's overtime, which is now affecting worship team.
It affects me. Like you guys literally looked at me and said, hey, could you tighten up your sermon?
We had to cut time from your sermon. We re-engineered our entire worship set.
Yeah.
And we're still going to be over. Because we only have so many hours and it's like.
Because it's a space issue because we have to get ready for the next service and the next service.
And the fun part is I've had people tell me when I first got hired as the creative pastor, there was some tension between the production value of service. Like, I just don't like that our service is so produced. And it's like, what you don't realize is we're actually the most produced we've ever been.
Yeah.
Right now, because we have to make sure service moves to make space for people to leave and people to come.
Yep.
Because we've had two accidents in our parking lot.
Two.
And a kid almost gets smoked.
Yep.
100%. And I don't mean like a student. I mean like a child.
Yeah, almost got hit.
So.
And that's the, put it in another context. like, oh, our service is really overproduced. Okay, let's think about this. Would the church want me just to roll up with no prep whatsoever and just open up the Bible and say, you know what, let's just see where the Lord leads us? Oh, here we go. Ezekiel 27. The word of the Lord came to me. Now you, son of man, raise a lamentation over Tyre and say to Tyre, who dwells in the entrances of the sea. Like, now all scripture is profitable.
Mm.
But I need time to pray over that.
Yeah.
I need time to study that.
So it's not Nick's word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I need to walk through the observations, the interpretations, the applications of this.
Yeah.
I am highly produced in my sermon prepping because mm-hmm. now there's still space for the Holy Spirit. Like, just watch how many times I really look at my notes,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
And it's usually in those times that it's going to go one way or the other, right?
Here we go.
But we have to be, because we want to be prepared and we want it to flow. Like, you can go to a church that does not orchestrate things like that, and it feels very clunky and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Like, and so it's kind of funny that sometimes we will get pushback on that, and it's like, actually, you really do like a highly produced service,
yeah,
because it's on point and it flows well, and it's like, that doesn't come naturally.
Because if we don't get you out for lunch, you're frustrated.
Oh, you know how many times, like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's just say yeah.
I had something really good that I was going to say, and just like that, it disappeared.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what me and my son have talked about before?
What?
So three services.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I don't do this is for a parking and a Cal Kids issue. If we had space to accommodate the three services in that, I would just continue straight on through.
Mm.
Just worship,
one long
preach, time. And then you know what? Going to come back up, have Pastor Nathan lead us in some more worship. And if you can come in, come in.
It's like a flow in, flow out.
Whatever you want to do, just keep going.
Let's go.
Just work on through it. If it wasn't for kids and parking, I would do it. Because it is hard. Like, you get up there and it's like, there's nothing more frustrating for me when you look at the back wall and you see 3 minutes left and it's like, gotta land the plane.
Yep. I really need 9 to do this the way I wish would.
And there's tension in that, and it is a struggle, you know. And then you'll always have some people. You have some, thank you for doing that, I really do appreciate it. And the others, no, you don't pay attention to the back wall time. You do what the Lord tells you. It's like, but I'm a shepherd, mm-hmm. and we have to care for all of our sheep,
and even the ones backing kids that are leading.
And 5 sheep don't get to tell the shepherd how to treat the other 95 sheep. Like, the shepherd says, all right, what's best for the sheep as a whole?
Yeah.
But there's tension in that, right? It just is. So
so let's talk about the fun things that are happening.
Yeah.
As of right now, as we're recording this.
Yeah, with the downpouring rain.
Yeah.
I you know, honestly, it's not a building fund anymore. It's an ARC fund, I swear. we need to, 2 animals are rolling in right now as we speak onto our property.
I saw 2 raccoons stop.
Yes. I thought, this is it, Lord. This is it. You said you never flood the earth
they
again,
would come.
But
he didn't say he wouldn't let it. He'd let the waters rise a little bit. He didn't say that. Come flood the whole earth. They're like, I'm going to remind you.
Like, I don't know. It is downpouring. But yeah, in the rain, what's happening?
They are out doing the dirt work and push. Like, it's actually really cool to see. We took off out yesterday and traipsed off
through,
the forest that is the property that we own.
A lot of people don't know that the church owns about 10 acres. So all the wooded area out there behind the church, like when you pop
the
hill,
was wooded area.
Or what was the wooded area. Yeah, that's all clearing, getting massively cleared out.
What they have cleared, where we were standing looking at what they have cleared.
Oh, yeah.
Words don't even describe.
I think all of you guys were like, that is a lot of land.
Oh, yeah.
That is
I was
a ton
flabbergasted.
Of space. Yeah, when it's covered in trees and you can only see about 20 feet in before you just see another tree.
And like, I, not to sound arrogant.
Say it, baby.
I know a little bit about building an acreage. So, like, when you say an acre, it's like, I have no idea. Like, I have a general idea.
Football field is what I always think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when you say 10 of those, you're like, okay, 10 acres.
Yeah.
That's not 50.
Yeah.
That's not a farm, but 10 acres. You walk out there and it's like,
whoa.
Okay.
Here we go.
I could have a decent amount of cattle on this.
Here we go.
So that process has already begun, which is cool. I'm excited for for when they break our tree line by the parking lot for the church to be able to see, you know, like, oh, that's a lot of space.
Here we go. Yeah. Like, I know the one thought, because they're pushing it all together and burning it.
Yep.
Right. We, and okay, before you get upset, we called logging companies. We would, did anybody want the,
nobody wanted to touch the trees back there.
Everybody told us just push it together and burn it. Okay. So that's what we did. Right. But I wish we were still in Revelation. They come rolling up and we just have these like eternal fires of Gehenna outside of the walls of Calvary. And be like, hey, you want to talk about
there,
salvation?
There
now?
Is one fire that's been going since last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's all smoky. I don't think the rain's helping.
Not at all. Not at all.
Which is probably why it's smoking like crazy instead of just burning. But good. No, it's cool to see. It's exciting to see, you know, what's going on, what's happening.
And two, also to say this. This is a big thing.
It's a huge thing.
We don't take it flippantly. We've been talking about it for 2 years, so it might be, sounds like, wow, they're just talking about it like it's nothing. We know and want to give space for our people to process this.
Yeah.
And we're okay with that. Here's my ask as the lead pastor. If you have questions, if you have doubts, if this is raising up even a little bit of frustration
or tension,
or tension, like, please, for the sake of the body, mm-hmm. for the sake of unity of the body, like, there is going to be nothing more harmful in the sense of allowing the enemy a foothold
mm-hmm.
to try to, like, because if we walk into a new building in a couple years, but people were massively decimated in their faith, that's not going to bring glory to the Lord.
No.
You know? And so I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah had, he had a tool in one hand and he had to have a weapon in the other because there was opposition, right? We have a real opposition towards us. We have a real enemy that wants nothing more to steal, kill, and destroy this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say we want to be a home for broken people, what's the enemy say? No, I want broken people to stay broken.
Mm.
When we say we want to be an encouragement to hurting people, what does he want? He wants hurting people to continue to hurt. And to hurt themselves and to hurt those around them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say we want to be a family for anyone to follow Jesus, he doesn't want a family. He wants broken, hurting mm-hmm. homes. He wants orphans, widows. He wants, you know, destroyed families.
Yeah.
And so in this, if it's the numbers, if it's the movement, if it's something, like, please, for the love of God,
mm-hmm.
for the love of the Lord,
in context,
literally in the context of it. And if you feel like, you know, I just don't know if I could sit down with Pastor Nick, like, number one, I would love to. There's nothing that you're going to bring up that I don't want to dismiss them, anybody. Yep. Like, let's have the conversation. But any of the staff would be more than welcome to sit down with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe not Jerron, but everybody else is. You know, Taylor, wonderful. But we have a campus development team. We have a campus stewardship team. Like, any of the board members, like, please seek wise counsel, seek any of the leadership in it, that if there's anything that you're struggling with, that you're wondering about, that you have doubts in, because again, going back to our time constraints,
mm-hmm.
like, Sunday, we just wanted to lead with the why
mm-hmm.
and give some tangibles in the what, right? Yep. And that still embrace the ish on that. So don't get those written in stone. Don't get those tattooed on you, the 4.5 and the square footage and stuff like that. Like, we've met with builders, we've met with architects and engineers and inspectors. Like, we are doing our due diligence and we're trying to get a snapshot of where we're at and every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to the website, the Heart for the House page. We're going to upload and keep that up to date as much as possible. But anytime in the process, if there's something, keep short accounts with us.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let something fester.
Yeah.
Because the enemy would love to take just a thought of frustration or doubt, and he's going to try to fester that to be the biggest infection of just anger mm-hmm. and distrust and doubt as he can.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to cause as much collateral damage as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just encourage you, please seek out leadership. And number two, just be praying for that. So if you're like, no, I'm 100% into this, and I've really great response Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, like, 110% behind you. You know what I need from you? Be praying for those that maybe aren't ready to say that yet.
Ooh, that's good.
you know?
Yeah.
Like, because we're all in process. And some people are just going to need a little bit more time. And that's okay. So where we might have fatigue talking about the building because we've been talking about it for 2 years, like, and so other people just, hey, that's great vision. We're ready to go. Others might need more time. Mm-hmm. Let's just be praying for each other and bearing each other's burdens in this. Because again, there's nothing more that the enemy wants to do that as God is working, we have to know there's a target on our back to bring disunity, division, chaos, destruction. We don't want that.
Yeah.
We don't want that. I would rather have a unified church than a new building any day of the week.
That's good. A couple tangibles as we wrap up, which you basically took two of the three right out of my mouth. So
there we go.
It's good. So you said on Sunday, I appreciate that. One, I would say if you have not watched or are unclear, go back and watch Sunday's message. It's on the church page under sermons or on the Heart for the House page. Yeah. The way that you walked very clearly through everything, I appreciated that personally and as a staff member. So that's the first starting point. Like, hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Yes, you're the horse.
I'm the horse, baby. That's better than when we were in Matthew and I said I was the donkey that gets
That's Jesus a great, world. It was a good pivot on that. So,
and you know what was humbling on that, honestly, was the number of like pastoral friends that I have in other churches.
Yep.
Let it be Colorado and even, you know, some of the guys in Crossroads that watch Sunday, knowing that this is like a big moment for us. And I was reaching out to them, hey, be praying for it. And they watched that. And like, that was cool. That was very humbling and like very encouraging too. So if you missed it, please definitely go back.
Go back and watch it if you need clarity. There was a part with the official launch where the pledge cards specifically, the 3-year commitment on the pledge cards, we are asking for those back ASAP by the end of May.
End of May, because the stewardship needs time to say, okay, this is pretty much where we're at.
Yep.
And now...
because we're going to announce the 29th.
Yes.
Which there's technically like three more days. But like, we're going to make the announcement based on the pledge cards that have come in.
Yeah. We're going to play the video the next two Sundays.
Yep.
And there'll be a live announcement, I firmly believe, probably by me, the last Sunday of May.
Okay.
And that'll give us a like, hey, this is where we're at.
Yep.
Because I think there are some people that are just like, okay, let's see the response. You know, some people aren't the first to jump in the pool. Some of you are the second to jump in the pool. And some people are just the last. And that's okay, too.
Yeah.
You know, again, we're all in process.
And then visit the Heart for the House page on the website. Yes. Like you said, that's where we're going to communicate the majority of everything through.
And eventually we were going to have like, so what you see even right now, using the fullness of it, like we want to put a full timeline together.
Yep.
And as we get those dates of like, what are those steps? You know, cause like I can barely build a doghouse. I've done it once. Mm. I mean, it was an awesome doghouse, but that's about my building capability.
The extent of it.
Yeah. So like, there's certain things like
we're not giving Nick a hammer and a pencil and saying, hey, let's draw this thing out.
Praise the Lord. Right. But we do want to provide kind of a roadmap of like, so if somebody doesn't have that kind of understanding, they didn't grow up in a construction world, like, so what's the process look like? You know, obviously we're not putting the roof on first because you need a foundation, you know.
Oh, I thought that's the first thing.
That's the first thing you actually do. Actually. Yeah. So we'll put a timeline together and you'll see that and you'll be able to know where we're at. Very similar if anybody was here during the senior pastor search process where they found me, they had a really nice timeline to say, This is where we're at. This is what we've done. This is what's coming up. Gotcha. And I gave a roadmap just so like, again, to be clear is to be kind. And we want to be as kind as possible and let people know where we're at.
That's good. And then the last two things, not because they're the least important. One is probably something that may catch people by surprise. And if you go to the Heart for the House page, it's actually one of the ways you can get involved is serving. It's a weird thing.
How?
To talk what about serving with the building. But you even mentioned it earlier on when you talked about the giving of finances, time, talents, and treasures, where as the building increases in size, potentially, so does our need for team members increase in size.
Every ministry is going to go up.
So like Cal Kids right now has 4 rooms. So the need for what it looks like now, where Cal Kids could have 5, 6, 7 rooms, the number of team members for kids, or students or the like, those things all need to go up. Because if we build a building, but we can't do ministry effectively in it, what was the purpose of building the building?
And to be honest, like that's here's a play out of like what's the staff been dealing with right now. That's where we're at. We are putting this is the live action where we're at behind the scenes, putting systems and structures together so that it's scalable. Mm-hmm. Because so think of a prayer team after service.
Yep.
You know, after first service, about 100 people. How many people are needed to provide a good prayer team for 100 people after a service? Mm-hmm. Compared to what if now services can get up to 200-300 people? Mm-hmm. How many people need to be there available? So yeah, like scalability, system structures, because we don't want to lose our mojo, as one person told me. Like, I love Calvary, I don't want to lose, I'm with you. You know, and we just want to scale that so that we can still continue in the ministries in it, but it's different system and structures. And that's where the staff is at right now, preparing that. Yep. And I think every ministry needs that as well. So yeah, way to start serving. I'm serving now. Why? So I can be up to speed, equipped, empowered. So for that next season of ministry, I'm ready to go. Because if we wait until there's the need, we're actually behind. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then last, but definitely, certainly not least, which you already touched on more than anything, bathe the entire process in prayer.
100%.
Specifically in the decisions that we make, meeting with architects and builders and those things, be praying for the staff, because we're putting, like you said, structure and things behind the scenes together so that things are scalable, and we're not doing that when the building is built, so that we're prepared. Pray for our people, whether they are on board or off board, because there's nothing more that Satan wants than a unified family.
Oh, so good.
And so if the family's unified, then the target on our back has just got exponentially bigger.
Yep.
And the attacks become increasingly more pointed.
Yep. We all need the shield of faith, but even more, we need to be locking those shields together.
Yes. Yes.
So.
And then...
Sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, no, they're good things. I thought that I had one more thing to be praying for.
Praying for. And then, honestly...
Oh, like, yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. No, I won't forget this one.
If you do have like a stirring in you that says, you know, hey, that question, Jesus, how do you want me to be involved in this? And you feel like there's an answer. Let it be time, talent, treasure. Like, okay, what's my next step? You know, stewardship team, any of the staff, like definitely take that next step, and wherever the Lord is stirring, you know, we want to come alongside you in that. So,
the last thing to be praying for.
Yeah.
You.
I knew you were going to go
there. I know. Like in all seriousness, he's going to hate that I'm doing this. But the emotional, physical, spiritual toll that it takes being a lead pastor is not something that the role is lightly taken on. I know for you, like I know you and your family care deeply about this church, but I also know that as you begin to take steps of faith, that you believe the Lord is calling you and inviting the church to follow, that not only with the target on the back, or not only is the target on the church back getting increasingly bigger, but it's honed in specifically for you, and not you professionally or just professionally, but you personally, your kids, your wife. Like, it's not just, oh, Nick is the lead pastor of Calvary because the Lord is doing a work through him, I'm going to attack him. No, it may be that the attack is through your wife, through your kids.
Yeah.
Instead of like Nick, who can take a lot. It's hard, like as a husband, as a dad, it's hard to watch my wife and my kids struggle. Oh, like that's the biggest, you know, I can carry a lot. You start taking on my wife and my kids. That's hard.
You know, I don't know if we've ever had this conversation. The one conversation that really, I think, made me feel the weight of this whole thing, talking about a new building.
Yeah.
And as the board saying, is this the direction we want to go? You know, one of the conversations we had to have, do we think Nick will torpedo his life in the next few years? Because if we believe that, then we don't need to step forward. Because if we're in the middle of something like this, and Nick shatters his life.
Yeah.
The detriment that that would be unto the body would probably, like, because again, always think worst case scenarios. Can we handle something like that? That then, like, that was super humbling.
Yep.
Of thinking, like, wow, specifically unto me personally and within my role, if I torpedo my life, if I shatter my life, if I do something, like, even more of a call to, for me to live above reproach, not above correction, not above training and righteousness and all of that, but to live above reproach. Like, that was, I remember walking away from that board meeting thinking, you know, Lord, if ever you'd put your hand upon me to protect me from my own stupidity, I need it now more than ever, because one, he is absolutely worth it. The gospel is absolutely worth it. My family is worth it. The staff is worth it. We look at our people that call Calvary home. And even in the video that we played, you know, seeing just Linda Stanton say,
oh gosh,
I am growing spiritually in this church. Like, that's humbling. And that's, and to know that, you know, that is the Lord working in and through people, because again, he gives certain positions to equip and empower the saints to do the work of ministry. And like, that's real.
Yeah.
My pastor used to say, nobody knows what it's like to be in the role until they're in the seat. And I always thought that was a cop out when I was a youth pastor. I hated when he said that. Nobody knows what it's like. And I thought, shut up. And then about 3 weeks
now, you're in the seat. You're like,
every time I call him, I tell him, I'm sorry that I thought that. And thank you for pouring into me that. Every time. Hey, you remember when you told me nobody knows what it's like to be in the seat?
Yeah.
You were right. And I'm sorry I doubted you. Like, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we actually had lunch not too long ago before the Vancouver trip. He was driving through town. So
that's right. I remember you saying. Yeah,
so that was cool to be able to see.
That's cool.
But no, I really do appreciate that. And if anybody, honestly, like, outside of my family, it gets a front row seat to what I handle. Like, it really is you. And I know people come up, even board will ask you, like, hey, how's Nick? So I've been paying Jerron 10 bucks just to say, oh, he's great.
Every time I say he's great, I get 10 bucks. So if you see me roll up with a new car, you know that I've been lying through my teeth.
Negative $40.
That's exactly right. Season. So
it's good. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. But I think it's a great place to hang up the hat. There's nothing. I got nothing. Zero.
Emptied the clip. Emptied the clip.
The clip is empty. Time to put it down. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting us share our hearts as we embark on this Heart for the House adventure together as a family. I would just echo what Nick said. If you have anything you're struggling with, we as a team, as a staff, as a church, we'd love to sit down with you and walk through that with you. But we're going to turn the mics off. We're going to let the geniuses behind the camera do what the genius does and make us look and sound beautiful.
Amen.
So that you guys won't complain that there's not another breakdown. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.